listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 30th already. My name is Michael Kelly, finally, and I'm here with Dr. Hunter, finally.
Glad to be here, Michael. Yeah, we had a few system glitches before
the
program, but
that's just what the authorities want you to believe. We actually were trying to be shut down by the powers that be because they don't want to hear our truth.
That's right. Alien intervention of the wrong kind.
Welcome to those joining us live. Welcome to those that join us in the archive. We always appreciate having you. Spirit of Life is a weekly program and educational service of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Now, we're going to have a good topic tonight. We're going to cut right to it, but we're going to briefly go over our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we are alone, are responsible for, and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, on to tonight's topic, the implications of alien life. Specifically the metaphysical implications. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for awareness? And how am I going to figure out how to turn this air conditioner off? These are all the questions we're going to answer tonight.
Well, we've been given alien technology, so I guess you should be able to just press a button, Michael, and there it goes.
Well, that is off exactly what happened. I did find the button, and it is off. But, go ahead.
Well, we're colliding. That's all right.
This is the night for it.
We've been given alien technology. It is so. You know, the implications of alien life. Look, I think that we really do require ourselves to take a couple of different views of this, because we're actually approaching this as though most people think that aliens do not exist, but they could exist, right? And science. Yeah, finding a bacteria, finding some kind of speck of something that could live on another planet, that convinces scientists that, you know, there could be some of their life on another planet. But look, I come from the position that, there's always been, you know, intergalactic extraterrestrial life, and we're the aliens.
Well, so, it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, and historically, every culture has made reference to star people or sky people. So, you know, again, it really is about your view. But let's for a moment play devil's advocate, if there is a devil, and say we don't believe in aliens. Let's imagine that for a moment, Michael. We don't believe in aliens, but we just found out there could be aliens. What does that mean to us? Oops.
Well, and I think it's interesting how The point of reference has changed. It used to be that it was insane to think that there was alien life out there. We were the only people. And now it's almost a given. Everybody accepts that, yes, there's probably alien life out there, given the sheer numbers we're dealing with. Of course there's alien life out there. Now the only debate is, have they visited us? So I am always willing to play the devil's advocate, because I love to argue. It's one of my things. I love to debate. I love to have a good back and forth. So, you know, for kicks, I'm going to go ahead and take the contrarian point, or rather the counterpoint, better said. And what, you know, I have my notes that I had been jotting down the last few days thinking about this on my laptop that crashed. We're on the backup right now, so I'm going to have to wing it from memory, but I do know that the recent UAPs, and that does not roll off the tongue like UFO does, unidentified aerial phenomena or something along those lines. I know Dr. Steven would know. But UFO, of course, has that classic sensibility. But nonetheless, the Pentagon released a report, and well, the government rather released a report based on the Pentagon's videos and things from the Navy, where they essentially said they don't think it's aliens, but they can't say what it is. So, fair enough. When you don't know, you simply don't know. It could be extraterrestrial craft. It could be advanced human craft. I doubt it. Could be interdimensional beings that are just messing with us, that are just beaming images into our head. I've used that, you know, logic when it comes to seeing ghosts. How do you know you're seeing a ghost and not something that a being that has control over your perceptions is making you see something? Of course, that's unverifiable. There's so many things that are. So when you don't know, you just don't know. We're not on an even playing field. We don't have all the facts. So are they aliens? Quite possibly, but are they perhaps time travelers? Why not that? We see a craft. Why do we jump to the conclusion that it's extraterrestrial? It could just simply be human from another millennium. Oh, Wendy put that in chat. Could be time travelers. There's a little bit of a lag from when you hear us to what we see in chat, but that is absolutely on cue. So when you don't know, you don't know.
Well, I agree. What we, our views are always subjective, right? And any experiences we have that we believe could be UFO or otherwise related could just be because that's the way our brain is filing for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's truthful. We have to certainly keep open to that. I've had enough odd experiences in my life that, to me, it's a no-brainer. You know, there's other beings in other dimensions, time, space. You know, I don't know if they all look like the Greys. I think that, you know, if we look around, they say there's many different species that, you know, visit the Earth. I think what we have to be careful of is no matter which way we go on this, that we're not speculating too far and we're not fear-mongering. So those are the two things. Because I really think, honestly, if we were at risk, it would have already happened. You know, if you stop and think about it.
If we're at risk for invasion, you mean?
Oh, yeah, invasion or anything negative happening. Like a lot of people might, you know, kind of say, oh, my God, they're coming, you know. And well, a lot of people speculate that that's why the Pentagon or the U.S. other governments are slowly leaking this information to stir up fear. You know, that's and certainly.
I don't know that it's had that effect, though. I challenge you to find anybody that's become concerned by sightings of this or think it might mean something. In fact, I think one of the remarkable things of 2020, be it a pandemic, you know, global catastrophe, or be it inane politics, 2020 was a year of distractions, and I think one of the most indicative things is that there is so much evidence for unidentified flying objects that came out in. Like, basically, the Pentagon said, yep, aliens are real, and everybody just didn't care.
Yeah, they got a lot more on their minds.
We have bigger problems than first contact with other life, okay?
So what is the implication, Michael? I mean, what do you think? So let's say some alien being, you know, came through all of our televisions and our little phones and all our stuff to talk to us. What do you think the implication would be?
Well, obviously, it changes how we see ourselves. What was once a hypothetical becomes a reality. Mm. Now we understand that consciousness, it can develop in ways that are, you know, I don't mean to pun it, but alien to us. Alien in the sense of different ways we can't understand. People, well, creatures that might not conform to what we consider to be sentient life. Might not be bipedal. Might not have just two genders. Might have different ways of communicating. What about all of those potential implications? It teaches us how life can possibly exist. And furthermore, of course, there have been longstanding concerns amongst, people that say the government keeps it under wraps because they don't want the people to be in a panic that religion would go by the wayside. But what I think we have, and what I think the implications are, is that we are coming to a point in our social awareness, in our base level of knowledge, that we understand it is simply a matter of time, possibly, that we are going to run into something. It's very possible. We know it can exist. We have the knowledge that there are an infinite number of exoplanets. So now our society is beginning to adapt, and religions, being a creation of society, are adapting with them. You have religions that are incorporating into them otherworldly life and other planets. I think the Mormons were the first to do this. I do believe it is one tenet of belief that if you are good enough or pure enough, you do get your own planet. please fact check that. We all have the power of Google and internet search, so let's figure it out. But so the implications are far ranging. They will touch every aspect of our society when it becomes something substantive.
Well, I think, though, you're talking as though you're a logical human being. Most people are not. And the emotional maturity isn't necessarily there. We fear what we don't know. So
true.
As you said, they may not have the physical appearance that we can relate to. What's the thing that we do? We fear it. Or we want to use it as a science project and study it. We don't think for one second it has an intelligence to actually communicate with us. See, so that's where I go with this. I'm with you about, the possibilities are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, human beings haven't got a great track record especially when it comes to militaries or politicians or, the science community.
Right.
Not very many people are saying, wait a minute, maybe let's find out if they have a language, let's try and communicate.
I think the people that are actually on the forefront of dealing with these things, people at SETI, people that are actively looking for it, people that are lining up exoplanets that are within, visual range of us to sight them, there was a recent article that I had notated wherein they looked at the number of planets that could potentially, see us, especially see our radio broadcasts and things like that of the last century. And there are over 1,000 planets that would have been in that zone to have been able to pick up, maybe not pick up the radio signals immediately, but nonetheless, they're able to see us. Just the way that we can see these other planets, they can see us. So this would be the range of planets that would be able to identify us. And then, when it comes down to it, just to put my cards on the table, put a gun to my head, I'm going to say I do believe that our planet has been visited by sentient life that is not human. Sometime in its past. I don't even know if that's during human beings' existence. Space is vast. Time is long. Human beings have been here a very short amount of time. And modern civilization, just but a fraction of that. I do think it's possible that human technological innovation, evolution, nuclear power, perhaps is one of the things that I think could have drawn life here. But just the sheer vastness of the universe, the sheer number of planets that there are, even if we're being visited by somebody, it's just our next door neighbor, it is baffling to think about the infinite nature of space, to think about, our local group of galaxies being just but a fragment of the known universe. The known universe that we can see, that only goes back, I think, 13.5 billion light years. And it's possible there is existence beyond that that has not had enough time for that light to travel to us. So,
well, I'm on board with you, Michael, totally.
I mean, it
doesn't make any sense that the Earth is the only planet with life.
Oh, no, it doesn't make any sense at all. But the vastness of space and the relatively short amount of time that human beings have been here would count against aliens having visited us, if I'm going to be playing the devil's advocate this evening.
Well, I was about 18 years old, coming home from work across the field to my apartment, and this big bright light in the sky pulsated, stationary, came toward me, you know, zipped left, zipped right, and oh, holy crap, I'm running. That scared the crap out of me. I had no real file for that, you know, in my brain. And went up to my second, you know, story apartment, looked out in the balcony. It's still there as though it's looking right at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it zipped away, like gone. And the same thing happened the next night. Same thing. Now, the reason I'm telling that story is that's exactly the message I got from somebody last week who, you know about UFOs, you know, want to talk about this, and this happened. It was like all of the electrical in his vehicle stopped, shut down on this little road. Ball of light behind him seemed to come right through his vehicle, go forward.
So it did not occupy the same time space as us, because it, you know, two objects can't occupy the same place and time. Did we lose you, Dr. Hunter? Well, tonight is the night for it. We did lose Dr. Hunter, and I'm sorry, she appeared to be right in the middle of an excellent point. We're going to get her back on the line. Bear with us in just one moment. All right. But as you can see, the truth that we have to share this evening is too powerful. They're trying to keep it under wraps, but we're not going to let them. Well, looks like Dr. Hunter may have been, maybe lost power, not sure what might have happened, but she is not available. Let's give it another try here. But as we have some time, I have been playing the devil's advocate this evening. I've been talking about some of the arguments against life. And as I said earlier, cards on the table, I do believe it's very possible. And in fact, I think it's very likely that we've had some kind of contact. I'd wanted to touch on some of the historic things that we've seen in history. Of course, my best notes are on my laptop that crashed. This is the night for it. But we can call back to some things that we all kind of have a reference point to. We recall perhaps some of the more famous stories from the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, seeing the mechanism in the sky. We can look at the Hindu Vedas. We can look at the star people throughout all kinds of cultures that Dr. Hunter alluded to earlier. We have a long history of dealing with these concepts of life outside of us, outside of ours. And we have Dr. Hunter back.
I'm back.
All right. I was talking about something. I'm pretty sure it was uninteresting while we were getting you back online. But basically what I was saying is we were kind of bringing it around to the history of it. We lost you in mid-sentence and mid-idea. So if you want to finish that thought,
Sure. You think I can remember that?
So,
no,
you know.
We'll just carry on, Michael, because I think I was talking about how these experiences, and again, this is long before the internet, you know, long before mass communication or anything. But, and to the best of our knowledge, there was no such thing, you know, when I was 18, there was no such thing as all these other, you know, military drones or stuff that we can relate to at this time. But it goes way back earlier than that, decades earlier, of all these different sightings of...
Oh, yeah. Well, and what I was just talking about before we got you back on is going back further into history. Of course, as I had told our listeners, I have my best notes on my laptop that crashed. But we can look at the examples from far back in our history, the Hindu Vedas. We can look at all the cultures that have had relationships with these star people. And for some reason Wendy's saying that it's repeating, but that's not right. I'm not sure why that's happening. But anyway, back on to the history of it. So I think we've been dealing with these things for a long time, and given the fact that human beings, anatomically as we are, have been here 100,000 years or longer, we very well may have been visited numerous times in the tens of thousands of years that humans existed without recorded history.
Are you there?
I'm here. I'm just typing out a message in chat to Wendy to see if we can help her out.
Here we go again. This is one wild ride tonight, hey?
This keyboard is not great either, but it is a wild ride. It was supposed to be a wild ride for so many different reasons. We had some great points we were going to talk about. But...
Oh, she thinks she's back now.
All right.
Funny.
But I think, you know, of course, there are a lot of reasons why, you know, gods are created. I was making the argument the other day that I believe that religions, gods, and these ideas are reflective of the cultures that create them. And I even made the argument that despite all my disagreements with the concept of, you know, Christianity per se, I think the fact that we went from a very brutal, you know, all across the world, many types of brutal gods, at least in the West, to one that was loving was a shift in human awareness. So I think there's a lot of ways the gods could have come here, but with the tens of thousands of years of history that we will never know, those lives that came and went that never, nobody wrote down their story except, you know, they would retell these stories verbally through language. They would change through time. It makes it impossible to know what the absolute truth was, but it gives you an indication, those ancient myths, those legends. Give you an indication of how people thought and what they might have experienced.
Well, being a Scandinavian and, you know, the Scandinavian gods from Odin on down, it's not unusual for people of my ancestry to believe that those were aliens, people of the sky world.
Right.
You know, each a different species or the families.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. People just trying to understand things as best they can.
And I think that many cultures do the same thing. I think in Greek mythology they did the same.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. The Greek mythology is a wild ride. Zeus is a messed up guy, let me tell you.
And Neptune and all those other boys.
Yeah, but
none
of them are as... You know, frankly, prone to sexual assault as Zeus was. And again, reflective of the culture that created it at the time, not to saying that Greeks are, but humanity as a whole was a much more brutal people back then. So a leader being, you know, taking, essentially taking away somebody's right to be with who they want to be with and to not be assaulted sexually. Zeus was just going around pretending to be a cow, horse, other men, all kinds of stuff. It's the weirdest stuff.
It is pretty weird.
God, I hope an alien didn't actually come to Earth and do that.
Well, I guess, we're back to the beginning of it's subjective. Do you believe that aliens exist? And if they beamed down, how would that freak you out or, you know, change your reality?
Mm-hmm.
You know, create a different worldview for you? Or do you come from a position of, well, of course it has to exist. I don't have a frame of reference for it, but I believe it could be. And you'd still freak out if it came down and say, oh, it changes my reality. Or there's very many people who have had encounters who also say, yeah, shrug, okay. You know, they've always been here. Nobody wants to mess with us. You know, except that they're kind of concerned for humanity, the way we're behaving. And I think that's all in our position. So, again, the topic of the evening and that, you know, that ultimate question of the implications of alien life, I think that it could only be good, what I'm saying.
I think,
in my view.
I think, like every single thing in life, it's going to be a mixed bag when we truly make real contact. But that being said, given the tribal nature of humanity, to give us another tribe to unite, to differentiate ourselves from, it will bring humanity a little bit closer together when we realize we're not, you know, we're not the only people on the block.
It might smack us upside the heads for a minute and say, Don't be so arrogant.
Well, and a lot of times we've been talking about peaceful, wise aliens. We know we've kind of eschewed the idea of invaders. And I agree that if you have the technology to fly through space in such vast distances, and if you figured out how to fix that whole relativity thing with time and space to get across galaxies, then you have a lot of knowledge, and hopefully with that comes a lot of wisdom. That being said, as we said earlier in this broadcast, if you were able to hear it without all the issues we've been having tonight, we can possibly find intelligent life in forms that are not like us, that might not be bipedal, that might not, you know, use language the same way that we do, that might not have the same genders that we do. That being said, I think it is possible there is life that would be hostile to us. Of course it's possible. It, you know, we've all seen Star Trek. We know the Borg. And sure, there are Vulcans out there. And sure, I follow the First Contact countdown page on Twitter, because it's coming up in this century. But, you know, everything, unfortunately, is a mixed bag. And with infinite diversity and infinite possibility, well, comes an infinite array of intelligent species. Some of them, I would hope the vast majority, largely peaceful. And perhaps some of them not so.
Well, I agree. I think it's like anything else. You know, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. And if we take some of the rumors on the internet as being, you know, any amount of truthful, there is apparently one species trying to protect us from another species, you know, kind of on guard of Earth from this other that wants to, you know, we have resources it wants. You know, all those kinds of stories that have been channeled through people, allegedly. And I, again, say allegedly because I do take most of it with a grain of salt, because everything is delivered through one's own language, one's own perceptions, one's own belief systems. So we have to be really careful about that. And do I doubt that people can channel? No, I don't. Matter of fact, I am totally on board with that. But the thing is, how are we translating the information that's being given? See, I think human beings have the greatest potential to be extraordinary beings. We just have this low emotional quotient that tends to ride along with, I want to be the first to discover this, I want my name in a paper, I want this. You see, and there's this competitive thing going on the planet that, you know, has no place, I think, for what it would take to deal with, you know, an intelligent interaction with beings from other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. We have to get our egos out of the way. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
We have to realize it's not about us.
No,
you know?
It's not.
You know, we're not the center of the universe. We never have been.
No.
And, you know, it's taken time. It took generations. Even after we acknowledged that the Earth was not the center of the universe, was not the center of our solar system, was not the center of our galaxy, was not the center of any of it, we still have all into the notion that this was all created by a perhaps benevolent, but sometimes really angry God for our pleasure. And now we're slowly coming out of that to realize, again, it used to be 50 years ago that alien life was, you know, that's ridiculous. There isn't any alien life except here on Earth. And I think a lot of the underpinning of that is faith. And now we live in a time where most people in the modern world, at least in the secular world, acknowledge that, yeah, aliens certainly exist. How could they not? We live in an infinite galaxy. But have they visited us? The debate changed. And that, I think, is reflective of our society's growth, our ability to conceive of different possibilities, and our ability to cope with them.
Well, I totally agree. And I think that we have a bit of a ways to go, but I'm hoping in my lifetime that the big mother ship will just show itself and all these little drones will come out and, you know.
Oh, I've seen Independence Day.
Anyway, you know, before we go any further, I want to say if you want a card tonight, cards pulled, please put your names in the chat. I know we're going to have to kind of move this along forward. I love this conversation. I think what we're going to have to do, Michael, is do a part two or part three, you know, and carry on, because, you know, we barely skim the surface of this topic. I'd like to talk about some testimonials in the future. I'd like to,
I think that'd
you know,
be a great idea.
Hear people's testimonials in the chat.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how can we look at that, you know, of is that something we conjure or is that something different, and how well do you know yourself to know what you're translating, you know, that kind of a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Dr. Hunter, I have said it before, I will say it again, you are brilliant. That is a great idea. So we
thank
encourage...
you. I am brilliant right now.
I have always said that to your face, but anyway, so no, yes, I think that's a great idea. So to those listening live, to those in the chat, come next week with some testimonials. Throw them in. If you're listening to us on the archives, shoot us an email to the you know, the school and the church admin. We'll make sure to put it in. Some of you are connected to us on social media. Let us know. Put it in the One Planet Community Facebook group. Throw some stuff in there. We'll keep an eye out. And we'll come next week with some testimonials. I'd love to get into some of the, you know, history of, you know, human views. We saw some talk from Dr. Edward about Galileo and Copernicus, referencing a discussion that Dr. Stephen was having in chat. I think it'd be interesting to get into some of those details too. But, you know, me, I'm a huge history buff. So I think, yeah, part two, great idea. Let's bring some stuff to the table. And without further ado, let's dig into some cards.
Let's do that. So for those joining us in the archives, the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards is one that Michael pulls from the deck. Mm-hmm. I back that up with a tarot card. So let's see what we have for Edward, Michael.
All right. Dr. Edward, I have number 20, Deliberate Intent. Let's see. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It is not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, in support of that, Edward, I have the Page of Clubs. Now, for those of you who don't know, the tarot is the minor and major arcana. And my old teacher would say that it was two tribes with different languages who merged together to create the tarot. And that page card was the bridge. It was the communication card, the one that, you know, blended those two languages. So in, as a page and a club, which is the wands in this case, it's all about changes, bringing changes, talking about changes, the deliberate intent, communicating yourself, delivering yourself. That's what I'm saying, and being a bit of a bridge. So that's why I brought up the other part about the tarot. So I hope that makes sense to you, Edward.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a little bit, too, about finding your voice.
Very good. Very good message. And as our card keeper, Wendy, pointed out, Dr. Edward had this card a few weeks ago on June 2nd.
Oh,
interesting repeat there.
A thread.
All right. And I believe that we have Audra next, our friend Audra.
We do.
All right, Audra. Oh, a wild card. Wild card number 8, Freedom.
I love that card.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer have any purpose for the present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. Love that card.
Two of clubs, Audra, or two of wands in tarot language. Now, simply put, the two is a worker number, right? It looks to the future, and it likes to work towards something. And it also brings changes, but it's about how you see your future. So with the freedom message and the two of clubs, I want to say don't let anything or anyone hinder your goal. You know, it's like work toward that, like a little by little, and feel that autonomy and that right to be you and do what you like. That's what I'm going to say. I see that as really powerful. So that's good.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Jamil. We have Jamil next, I think.
I think you're right. And Jamil, I have number 5, Law of Control.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are. You can lobby for change or leave.
7 of clubs. That's 3 clubs in a row that I've pulled up here. Ah. Interesting. In this case, the 7 of wands, I see this as a bit of a guard card, what I call a protection card or a safety card, putting up a wall between yourself and others. Now, with the law of control, Jamil, and that kind of 7 of clubs there, I want to say you can't control other people as much as you'd like to. You know, even if you're invited into a conversation, that's fine. You share your views. But you might be feeling right now that there's things going on that you can't control. And you just have to sit down with yourself and ask, you know, what is within my control? How do I need to preserve what I have and who I am and what I'm doing and know that there's that, you know, that boundary? So maybe in a simple term is relearning boundaries. And trust me, we are doing this all the time. Mm. All of us are. So I think that's the message to you right now. And, you know, once you realize that it's not in your control, you can actually relax a little bit. Nothing you can do.
Mm, so
send
true.
Lots of love to other people.
Yes, yes. I'm right there with you. I empathize with that message a lot. But
yeah.
All right. We have Kevin up next. And Kevin, I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter.
Okay.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes about naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, now, Kevin, the page, and now I pull another page, page of diamonds, page of pentacles, bringing yourself to the world in a new way that's constructive. It's more declaring yourself in matters of your livelihood, perhaps, how you want to generate some other sources of income. I would even say investments actually comes to mind. So in this new energy shift, new chapter, it's I feel good about it, to be honest. So if you think about things before you go ahead, life out there is very tenuous, but follow your instincts, follow your intuition, and when you know your stuff, you really know your stuff, Kevin. So I'm going to say it's a really good time for you to make these energy shifts, especially with livelihood. I do
love it.
Good one.
All right, we have Wendy next, our resident card keeper. We're always happy to have her, and we hope you're feeling better. I know you haven't been doing too great the last couple weeks here. Wendy, let's see what we have for you tonight. Ah, interesting. Well, you'll be the one to tell me. I don't know if you've had this one before. Wild card number 9, blank. I know it's come up recently. Let's see, wild card number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. This card is what you need it to be, and it is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Ace of Hearts, Wendy. Whew, that's good. And I feel a little flutter when I say that. So that blank card and creating, I would say that there's so much feel-good stuff going on around you. And shifts in relationships, feeling a sense of calm, even a little bit of security, I might say, in some way that your heart feels good. Your heart's feeling warm. You know, in the last while, I'll attest to this, and if I recall correctly, you know, there's challenges at work, there's challenges with your health, but I feel like that's all waning now. And the focus now is going to be the joy in your life. So in creating that joy. And I feel like you've got some, you know, really good things going on around the corner. I don't know why I say this. I see a ring on your finger, a new ring. So we'll see. Let me know.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right. And we have Ronnie up next. And let's see. Ronnie, I have one of our most important cards. Number 29, Pay It Forward.
Yep, it is.
Let's see. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward to right now?
Okay, Ronnie, I got for you the Jack of Clubs. Now, Jack of Clubs is somebody who has a renewed vigor, energy, youthfulness, somebody who likes to shake things up, move forward. You know, you're a real go-getter. That paying it forward, you might be thinking of different ways that you would like to make some changes in your life, but also that benefit others, Ronnie. So I guess what I'm trying to, I'm getting a little collision of thoughts here. I don't know if you do necessarily work with a nonprofit or some kind of a community group, but I can see you being given more responsibility, and it could even mean something that you're rewarded for. So, and I sure hope that makes sense for you. But I like that, that you're giving forward. You already know what that is, but learning also how that comes back to you. So there's that cycle of energy that's going on. But there are some changes coming up here, and it's really uplifting. So I hope that makes sense.
I love that. Change can be scary, but it is an opportunity for wonderful things.
It is. It is so.
All right. And up next, Cecilia had asked us to pull a card for her daughter.
Now, we don't know her daughter's name.
Right.
It's tougher for me if I don't know. Oh, Tonica. Okay.
All right.
There we go. She just put it in. Pick one for Tonica, Michael.
All right. I have number 4, past, present, and future.
Okay.
Let's see. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, your present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Now, I hope we're not pronouncing that right. Tonica or Tanika, I'm going to go with Tonica for the moment. In support of past, present, future is the Magician. Now, that's a really powerful message. And to me, that's saying that you're in this, you know, think of it's alchemical. You know, you're taking some difficult things and making them into positive. There's these shifts and changes going on in life. You might feel like you're in the middle of it right now, you know, kind of stuck with 1 foot in the past, 1 foot in the future. But that's going to begin to change, at least the feeling of that, the more you go toward the future. So the Magician is saying that you have a lot of cosmic supportive energy here and recreating life. So, Tonica, I would say a year ago, what your life looked like a year ago today is completely different. And how it's going to look in a year from now? Powerhouse. So you just keep on the track that you are. This is a really good affirmation for you.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome. So for those who don't know, that's the feedback in the chat room is awesome. And the ring for Wendy, she lost her promise ring the other day and just found it today. So I'm so glad about that. Thanks for sharing that, Wendy.
Oh, I always love
sometimes
that feedback.
Sometimes these things just pop in my head. There
we go. It is uncanny. Uncanny, but I love it. Well, it's that time. We've gone just a touch long, but then again, we started a touch late, so we're happy to have y'all with us. We're looking forward to having you join us next week. It's a deep topic, so we're definitely going to have a part two, and we'll see what happens after that. Any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
I do. Cecilia, I put a link. Apparently, Tanika is seeing the number 44 a lot for a long time. She wants to know what that is. I put a link in the chat earlier, and it is to Sacred Scribes Angel Numbers, the blogspot. But if you go, Angel Numbers 44 is Joanne Sacred Scribes. There's a good read-up on it, and it's one of the better websites, I feel, for what numbers. But number 44 carries the double vibrations of 4, making its energies and influences magnified. 4 resonates with support, stability, establishing solid foundations, willpower, effort, ability, worthiness, hard work. So 44 is asking that you pay attention to your intuition and inner wisdom as you connect, you know, with your higher self and your world. So that's just that reinforced kind of subconscious, unconscious, higher conscious message of getting through to you to say, hey, it's okay, we're here. So if anybody does have those reoccurring numbers, I really like that website, you know, Joanne Sacred Scribes. So it's pretty neutral as you can get, you know, minus some of the, oh, there's a few religious words here and there, but that's not what she's meaning. It's kind of the common words used to relate. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll find it interesting whether it's 11:11, 3:33, you know, because that's been going on for me for years now. So lots. So I check it up every now and again.
You know, 313's been making some appearances. Don't really know what that means, but
313, you can look that up on Angel Numbers as well, Michael.
And I work with numbers a lot. I work in finance and in my day job, so it's interesting when you see some of the different variations.
Yeah, but, it is.
Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for your patience tonight. I know it's been probably a bit annoying when we got started, having some disjointed thoughts. I appreciate your patience with me. Dr. Hunter, I always appreciate you, and I appreciate the conversation tonight.
And you as well, Michael, and to all those folks in, you know, hard, challenging weather, hang in there. Honestly, where I am, the heat wave, I take 1 hour, one day at a time.
Yeah.
1 hour. One day at a time.
Good
That's
advice.
That's all you can do.
Good advice. Makes me feel not so bad about living in Florida. Oof. Enjoy my misery. But
well, hang in there, everybody.
Hang in there. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Looking forward to hearing some of your stories. We'll have some of our own. Until then, listen, think, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.